Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I have come to comfort you. Yea, saith the Lord, I have come to help you. I have come to deliver you. I have come to be unto you everything that you need in life. And after this life is over, I will come to take you home. Yea, saith God, I am the Lord. Above me there is no other. But I have come down unto you, my people, because of my great love for you. Rest in me in full security of my great love, for I will never leave thee as I have promised, nor will I forsake thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for a God like that tonight? This is all biblically substantiated. I always check myself out to make sure I'm giving the right interpretation. As I'm giving it, I'm listening to what I'm saying. I want to make sure it's in line and line upon line and precept upon precept that you can find in your Bible. I don't think anyone should be surprised by something that is said through the interpretation of tongues. I think it should fall into line with the Word. It's really reiterating or reconfirming or bringing back to our attention. When the Holy Ghost comes, He will bring to our remembrance what Christ has said unto us. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're just grateful tonight that He focuses our attention on His faithfulness. Amen? How many go through trials and tests from time to time? Amen? Well, that's most of us. We'll pray for the rest of you to get saved in this service, because if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. In fact, if you don't live godly, you're going to suffer tribulation and persecution. Somebody's going to be jealous of your achievements. If you achieve anything, somebody's going to talk about you if you're an underachiever. So you can't win, can you? Either way you go, you're going to... What did Bob Dow... I thought it was about drugs, but I found out what it was really about when I started pastoring. Everybody must get stoned. I thought it was getting stoned on drugs, but he was talking about... They're going to find fault with you. You know, they'll stone you when you're riding in your car. They'll stone you, don't matter who you are. Amen. They stone you when you're up for being up, and they stone you when you're down for being down. They're going to throw something at you no matter what you do. I said, the only way to, a guy at work, I said, the only way to avoid criticism is to say nothing and do nothing. And the guy said, no, then they'll criticize you for not doing anything. So you see, you can't win. Praise God. But I love the Lord tonight, and in spite of all of that, I'm glad to still be here. I'm glad you came back this evening, because I believe that revival fires are burning. I believe we're going to see in the Church of Jesus Christ a great move of the Holy Spirit to bring authentic revival. And I use the term authentic revival because I want to separate that from a five-day meeting where people get emotionally stirred for a little while and then everything goes back to business as usual. An authentic revival doesn't go back to business as usual. Can you say amen? It continues on, and we're just looking for that to sweep this nation, and we want to be part of that wonderful wave of the Spirit when it breaks forth. Praise God. And I believe it's breaking. So let's just pray tonight that God will bless this service, that we can learn from the Word of God, that we can go forward in our faith tonight, and that we can learn to lean more heavily upon the Lord as the source of all of our need than we have ever leaned in all of our life. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is given us to teach us. We thank you for Jesus, who you sent to be our Savior and our example. We thank you for a Father that would love us enough to give His only begotten Son tonight. We are loved by this triune God. Every part of you loves us and ministers to us. And Father, we want you to know. And Jesus, we want you to know. And sweet Holy Spirit, we want you to know that we love you back tonight. We've come to worship God. God, the three in one. Hallelujah. And we honor you tonight. And angels of the Lord, you're welcome in this place. We know you're here tonight. Amen. And we acknowledge your presence among us and with us in Jesus' name tonight. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm so glad that we have the promise. The Bible said that the Father gave His Son. The Son went back so He could give us the Spirit. God has actually committed angels to us and to our care down in this fallen world. and he's given them charge over us. And if we walk upright before the Lord, the Bible said we can find shelter in the covert of his wings. Can you say amen? And I need that shelter tonight. I love him so much for being so very, very faithful tonight. Praise God. I want to hold the subject high of covenant. We have been dealing with aspects of the covenant that don't sound like we're dealing with the covenant. It sounded like a discipleship message this morning. Amen. But in order to walk in that covenant, we need to understand that God punishes covenant people when we do wrong. And it is a sign that we actually belong to him. It's an expression of love. I believe the United States often escapes some of the global problems. Now, we are a part of a global. I believe God is shaking the earth, and I believe he's shaking it for a divine and holy purpose to bring people to the saving knowledge of himself. I'm already hearing reports that in England, this was on national television, by the way, not a Christian broadcast, but in England there was a lot more young people showing up at parish churches, those country churches, not big mega churches, but just a community. Parish to them is like a county to us, and a community. And they're showing up because when the material world begins to shake, people begin to search for something that doesn't shake. And this is an unmovable kingdom that we have received. And we have something to say to people that gives courage when everything else around is shaking. The Bible said there's coming a day when everything in earth and heaven will be shaken, that the things that which cannot be shaken might remain. That's the result of God's allowing for shakings. It thins things out. Jesus said, speaking of shakings and contrary winds sometime that come to blow, he said, I stand in the threshing floor. I stand in the garner where the wheat was actually, they bring the wheat in the baskets, and then they put it in something where they can throw it up in the air. And the person in the garner fans with all of his might, and it blows the chaff away from the wheat and lets the grain settle down. So shaking times kind of separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, it's not our job to do that. We can't do it, and we're not even supposed to do it. Amen. Sometimes even tares will grow up among the wheat. There will be people that are not authentic Christians sitting in churches assume that they are and presume that they are, and the world sees a bad example out of them. The Bible said, let them alone. The wheat and the tare, or a weed that looks like wheat, will get entangled, and their root systems will get so entangled that if you pull up to try to get rid of the tares, you're going to ruin and hurt the wheat. So that's why I lift Jesus high. I don't try to make anybody do anything, force anybody to get right. Can you say, man, I'm going to lift Jesus high. I'm going to challenge every Sunday. If there are people that come in here one of these days that are not authentic, they won't stay long, not because we pluck them up, but because there's conviction here if you're not right with God. Amen? Amen? And we appreciate conviction. There are people that are compromised sitting comfortably in church services Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Amen. And they're not bothered by the fact that they're not right with God. I want to have a church where people are actually bothered if they're not right with the Lord. Because to not be right with God is a serious, serious issue. Amen. So we just pray tonight that we will glean from the Word of God that God wants us to. I want us to go back to Genesis 17 once again, and we're still talking about the power and the privilege of having God as our covenant friend. We'll do just a little bit of review. I want to read this scripture again, and then after reading this scripture and Psalm 89, if the Lord doesn't have us preach on that, and 2 Chronicles, then I'd like to go to some other scripture tonight as we kind of go forward. And first thing I want to establish, and I know most of you know it, but in review tonight, first thing that I want to establish is that we are in a covenant relationship with God. That's one thing that didn't change when Jesus went to the cross. The law and the dispensation of grace and all of that shifted. The paradigm shifted in that area, but not in terms of covenant. We just received a different covenant, a new and better covenant, established on better promises. Can you say amen? So we're still in a covenant relationship with God. God is a covenant God. Amen. And so that's why the New and New Testament, Old Testament, should every time you see that, see it in terms of covenant. Every time you see things happening in the national life of Israel in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, every intervention of God, every provision of God, every protection of God, all of those redemptive acts of God back in the Old Covenant were because of a covenant with Abraham. Amen. He told him, I didn't come into this covenant with you because you're greater in number. I didn't do it because you were sweet. I'm going to paraphrase that. And you're tender-hearted and humble people, and you're the most lovable people on the planet. So I came into covenant with you because you're just the sweethearts of planet Earth. No, he said you're a hard-headed, hard-hearted, stiff-necked people. I think, why in the world did he choose Israel? Well, he wanted to show us the strength of a covenant. Amen. Among a lot of other reasons, but one of the reasons is he wants to show the strength of a covenant. He loved unlovable people. Amen. Oh, by the way, when he saved you, amen, he was still doing that. Can you say amen? He was loving unlovable people because we did things, we sinned against him. And that doesn't seem to be a big deal in our society, but it's such a big deal that Jesus had to come to this earth, become flesh and blood, and die tortured on a cross in order for any one of us to be forgiven. That's what my sin and your sin cost him. If sin isn't a big issue, if God could just turn his head to it and look the other way, amen, then Jesus had no reason to come here and be tortured to death. He didn't just die. He was tortured to death. Can you say amen? There's a difference in the way that he died and the way that we think of corporal punishment, using some kind of humane, even hanging by the neck with a quick break of the neck. It looks awful, but it is a quick death. But Jesus' death wasn't like that. Let's get into the covenant stuff tonight. Genesis 17, verse 1 through 7. And when Abraham was 90 years old and dying, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I've explained perfect to you several times. Amen. And it is the perfect heart attitude. Because the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how can anyone be perfect? And yet God said to Satan, when he was talking about Job, when God was using Job as an example, when Satan was accusing everybody on the planet of just serving God for what we could get, he said, have you considered my servant Job a perfect man? Well, was he sinlessly perfect? Absolutely not. No one could be. Amen? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And then it reiterates that, because in case somebody thinks they know somebody, or worse, thinks they are that perfect. There's none righteous. No. See, somebody always thinks, but you haven't. My grandma, she was that close to God. Well, she wasn't righteous according to his requirement of righteousness. And we think we're doing so good. The Bible said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisee, highly devoted, dedicated, but doing it more for their own personal gratification and getting the praise of men than the praise. When they fasted, they did it to be seen of men, and therein was the sin of pride. And God resists the proud, but who's he give grace to? He gives grace to the humble. Amen. We say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. So we're talking about a perfect heart attitude. Paul had it in Romans 7. He said, the desire to do right is in me. That spiritual will to do right in the eyes of God was in him. He had a hunger for righteousness. Can you say, man, how to carry it out? Sometimes I find not. And he found the warfare between flesh and spirit to be a spiritual law that we all have to acknowledge is in us. Amen. I've used the illustration 100 times in over 30 years of ministry, but I can't help but use it. It's so perfectly fitting about the missionary, true story, that established a church in Alaska with the Alaskan people, Eskimo people, and left Eskimos that were a spiritual man in charge of it, and went to establish other churches, came back in a year to see how they were doing, and he asked the leader of this church, how are you doing spiritually? How's things going spiritually? And he said, there are two dogs in me, a good dog and a bad dog, and they fight all the time. And the missionary quizzed him and said, well, which one wins? He said, the one I feed the most. Can you say amen? Well, the one you feed the most is going to win too. Amen. Either your flesh or your spirit. But God is looking for a spiritual will to obey. When he finds that, he sees a perfection in that will to obey him that you could never carry out into every aspect of your life. How many's ever wanted to not lose your temper? Wave at me if you've ever. We won't have to have an altar service before we go any further then. Amen. You wanted not to lose it. How many's ever lost it in spite of not wanting to lose it? Amen. But why'd y'all do that? Why do we do that? And I'm not any way cutting the flesh any slack tonight. I'm just telling you that we have to acknowledge this law in our members. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh, so you can't do the things that you would do. How many's ever repented of losing your temper? How many's ever asked anybody to forgive you? Amen. God is working with that. Not your absolute perfection, but your perfect desire to serve him. Have you considered my servant Job a perfect man? Can you say that? Sinlessly perfect? Can't be. No one could be. Christ wouldn't have had to die on the cross if we could achieve that. But he did die on the cross, amen, so that we could be forgiven. That's why repentance doesn't stop after you get saved, amen. It's something we continually do when it's necessary in our life. But if he sees your willingness to serve him, he's going to honor his covenant in your behalf. I want to make it clear, the strength of the covenant is not your perfection, it is God's. Otherwise, we could never claim any of these promises. It's God's. Amen. Listen to this. He that feareth, the Bible said in 1 John, is not perfected in love. Fear hath torment. The word torment is penal imprisonment. It absolutely punishes you, amen, if you entertain it. And it locks you in if you entertain it. He that feareth is not, here's that word perfect again, perfect in love, amen. For fear hath torment, but perfect love casteth out all fear. That doesn't mean if you love God perfectly, all fear is going to go. It means that God loves you with perfect love. And you can trust that perfect love even when you have faults and failures and imperfections. How many know you can trust the perfect love of God? Peter couldn't offer perfect love to Jesus. He tried to. He willed to. And God saw that willingness in his heart. But when the pressure was on, Peter caved in. Amen. But did Jesus love him perfectly? Absolutely. And if Jesus hadn't loved him like he loved him, you would have never heard any more about Peter. Even if he didn't kill himself, amen, or do something terrible like that, he would have absolutely went back to fishing, amen, in the sea, and he would have never become a fisher of men. But he did become a fisher of men, not because he could be perfect, but because the one that loved him was. Amen? And he loved him with a perfect love. And the wonderful thing about that is he fell in love with Jesus. It's different having that religious brand of duty, responsibility, and commitment and finding devotion because you fall in love with the Lord. Amen? Peter just fell in love with Jesus. And when he fell in love with him, if a man loved me, what happens to his devotional life that leads to obedience? He will keep my commandments and they won't be grievous unto him. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know? I've been around church people for 30-something years. 30, how long have I been with you guys? Oh, I mean, y'all haven't been with me through the whole trip, but I've been pastoring in Tampa for 35 years. I was 27. Do the math. I was 27 when I came to the Holy Church of God. Amen? 35 years. 27, now I'm 60. 35 years I've been around church people. Can you imagine? And it hasn't bothered me. 35 years I've been around church people. And guess what I found out? Amen. Every one of us need the grace and mercy of God. Every one of us. No one ever grows to a state of sinless perfection to where we can stand up and toot our own horn. Amen. We are what we are for one reason. And I'm not talking about living in defeat and compromise and giving place to the devil. I'm talking about living for God. Amen. Involves getting up and going on every time we get knocked down. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know that? Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Praise the Lord. And I thank him for that grace tonight. Listen to this. And Abraham was 99, and the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You understand perfect? Perfect willingness to obey, perfect heart attitude. Was he able to be perfect all the time? No, he made some mistakes. Amen. When he decided to rush things out of his impatience and take one of the servants of his wife's to try to have a son that God promised and do it himself instead of wait upon the Lord. Because he said, time is running out. You know, God waited till Sarah was 90 and he was 100 in order to keep a promise to him. Everybody say, God's delay is not his denial. And if you think it's too late, you're wrong. Amen. Amen. They said to him at Lazarus' tomb, if you had been here, you're too late. Amen. You're just too late. And they were upset with him. We sent you a message to come. You went on and preached your revival, and now you show up. Well, you're too late. He's in a tomb. He's been dead for 3 days. You're too late. And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I don't know anything about too late. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's the God that raises the dead. Praise the Lord. There's nothing impossible with him, so it wasn't too late. And listen, if he'd got there and healed Lazarus, amen, before he died at the brink of death, it would have been one thing. Oh, but what he did was something else. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, make no mistake about it. He didn't just swoon and somehow come back to life. He'd been dead 3 days, and they did not embalm him. And it was and they told him straight up, when he told them to roll the stone away, they said, Lord, by now he stinketh. Amen. He's starting, his body is breaking down. He's starting to deteriorate and decay. He said, did not I say unto you that if you would roll the stone away, you would see the glory of God? And they, by faith in his word, roll the stone away. God never asked you to do the supernatural, but God asked you to do an act of faith so that he can do the supernatural. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to know that I don't have to try to do the God stuff? How many think that if we got together, we could roll a stone away at the word of Jesus? I can't make all the fish come in my net, but I can cast it out on the side of the boat that Jesus said, and he can make them come in my net. Wow. I'm so glad he's God. I hear these messages trying to make us God in some little form or some other form to where we have creative words. We do the stuff. We do this. No, he does all of that. I don't want it on my shoulders. I want to leave it where it's supposed to be. Can you say amen? He's divine. I'm the branch. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And apart from him, what can we do? Absolutely nothing. I love it that way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let God handle, amen, the big stuff, and let him handle the little stuff and everything in between. He's a gracious and good God tonight. Hallelujah. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, and for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee. And here's the part you need to highlight in your mind or in your Bible. And thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Everlasting, thy seed after thee and their generations. Everybody say, this thing is ongoing. God has never recalled it. God will not recall it. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Why does he watch over his word to perform it? Because he's established a covenant, and it runs down the generations. He said he keeps his covenant of love in another portion of Scripture to 1,000 generations. And that word 1,000 doesn't mean after 1,000 the covenant stops. It means by the time it runs that many generations, he's going to be back ushering his kingdom. He doesn't need to use a bigger number, but it's an open-ended statement. literally saying in every generation, amen, that comes along, amen, in the lineage of the Jew. Listen, people got in on covenant promises that were not even covenant people when they came to him by faith and bowed to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you say amen? Everything he did because of a covenant that is established. And to the seed after thee, in their generations. It's an everlasting covenant. Psalm 89, let's look at it together, speaking of his covenant with David. Abraham, now he's saying, this covenant falls down to you. I'll keep it with you like I kept it with him. You're part of the seed. Amen. He said, if his children forsake my law, in verse 30 of Psalm 89, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes, if they keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn in my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Amen? God's people do wrong, he punishes them, but he don't break the covenant. Paul, knowing that covenant language, said in the New Testament, if I deny him, he cannot deny himself. He won't alter the thing that's went out of his mouth. If I deny him, he cannot and will not deny himself, but remaineth what? What he said right here, remaineth faithful. Paul was saying all of that in the context of that covenant knowledge. They were covenant people, and they knew they were covenant people. And that's why you see people that you think have reckless faith, or else they have the most faith you've ever seen. You see people doing these reckless things. Amen. That's why an armor bearer says, all in thine heart do, I'm with thee. To Jonathan when he says, let's go up and face 1 million troops with 300 chariots. Two Hebrews went up to face 1 million troops with 300 chariots. Isn't that incredible? What are two men going to, can you imagine two? Everybody else was so overwhelmed by that army that came up against them, they went into the caves and thickets to hide themselves. The whole army of Israel was in hiding, like rabbits in their holes. But Jonathan said, we got a covenant with God. That's what he had to know that. You can't do something that foolhardy unless you know where you stand. Can you say, man? How foolish it would be. And God used Jonathan and his armor bearer to bring a great victory and encourage the rest of those people to claim the covenant and come out of their holes when they saw God moving again. You know what we need to see again? We need to see God move again. He distinguishes himself from other gods which are no gods. How does he do that? He said their gods, all these other false religions, he said they got eyes, but they can't see. They build images of their gods and they have ears, but guess what? They can't hear, therefore they can't answer. They build them that to look like great, huge things. They've got arms, but they cannot deliver you. We got a God with eyes that see, ears that hear, a heart that loves, and hands that deliver. Can you say amen? When the false prophet stood up against Elijah, what did he say about God? How does he distinguish himself from the false gods? Amen. Let the God who answers by fire be declared the true and living God. Everybody say he distinguishes himself with power. Say it again. He distinguishes himself with power. Is this him or should we look for another? Well, tell him he distinguished himself with power. Amen. Go tell John the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. He'll know it's me. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. I know you're tired, but this is praiseworthy anyway. Hallelujah. We've got so good at it, even in Pentecostal circles. We've got good preachers. We've got great musicians. We've got fantastic singers. We've got wonderful programs. We've got buildings that absolutely knock your eye out. And what we need is a fresh anointing and a move of the Holy Ghost to confirm the word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, you didn't hear me. We need it. If you ever, amen, get a something that man can't cure in your body, you better find a church with a fresh oil anointing. Hallelujah. Where God shows up. Not just the preacher, the choir director, the musicians and the singers, amen, and the dancers, but God shows up. I'll tell you, when God shows up, they'll come to a canvas tent with sawdust on the floor. Even in this modern era. When God shows up. People thought God showed up in a revival recently, but it really wasn't God showing up. It was a man showing off. And the authentic revival that's coming is not going to be one person with an anointing. The sick are not going to be healed because one man or one woman in their gifts. James 5:14 is going to kick in. If there be any sick among you, let them call the worldwide evangelist with all the supernatural gifts. Didn't mention no evangelists and no gifts. If there be any sick among you, let them call who? The elders of what? The local church. They, who? The elders shall... It didn't. Elders, plural, the mature ones. Everybody say mature ones. Mature. These are not people given titles. These are people that know God. Amen. Daniel said, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. They'll be steadfast and take action. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do, and greater than these, because I go to my Father. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Amen. They will call the elders of the church. They will anoint them with oil. They will lay hands on them. They will pray the prayer of faith over them. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And everybody will know when they, people we know, just like you and me, amen, but God moves mightily. They'll know it's not the man, it's not the woman, it's Jesus that's doing this work. God gets the glory. People's faith are set in God, not in somebody and their gifts. Doesn't mean God won't anoint evangelists with gifts, particularly going down to foreign lands where they've never heard the name of Jesus to verify that message, amen, is true about this God. He's like no other God. He's a God who distinguishes himself with power. Everybody say he distinguishes himself with power. You get in covenant with God. Listen, all those miracles is God keeping a covenant. Every one of those miracles because he made a covenant with Abraham. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of the healings. How did he get known as Jehovah Rapha? Amen. How did that little Hebrew girl tell that Assyrian captain that there's a God down in Israel that can heal you? Amen, because she knew when Israel's in covenant with God, God is a healer, God is a deliverer, God is a provider, God is a savior. And all those names, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, were attributed to him because of his supernatural acts in behalf of his people, keeping covenant with them to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. Wow. It's covenant stuff. Everybody say to the seed, an everlasting covenant to thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Verse 34 of Psalm 89 says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I've sworn by my holiness that I'll not lie unto David, his seed, which was part of Abraham's seed, it's running the family tree, shall endure forever, and his throne is the sun before me. Christ comes into that great covenant seed relationship. Listen very, very carefully. I want you to get this. Let me just look at, before we get into the friendship stuff, just turn with me real quick in your Bible to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I'm excited about the revival that's going to come when the church of Jesus Christ realized that where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I, where? In the midst of them. I'll be glad when we don't have to drive 750 miles, amen, to get in a meeting where we can sense and feel the presence of God. If you choose to go to a meeting 750 miles away, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going there to find God, there's something very wrong with that. Because God shows up when two or more of us come together. Amen. If you're going to see a man, going to see a woman, your faith is not in the Lord like it ought to be. He's here tonight. He's as here tonight as he is in a coliseum with 10,000 people or a conference. Is he not? Is he the same one? Do they have a little Jesus that comes to the little church and a big Jesus that goes to the convention? Or is it the same Jesus? You know what happens? A lot of people get together blending their faith, and sometimes it's like you can go to a football game. It's different going to a football game and watching a football game on television. Because when that crowd comes to their feet and starts cheering, you can get caught up in their momentum. Amen. Can you say, man? And a lot of times what we think is really a move of the Spirit is just getting caught up in the momentum of that crowd. But honey, when you're in here and it's just me and you and him, it's got to get personal. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But that's okay. He's here. He's here. I'll never forget in our little church down on the corner when we'd have afterglow and most everybody would leave, but God moved the greatest in those afterglows. That's why I still have them. So in case God wants to do something special and somebody's receptive, it can happen. We don't just herd them in and herd them out. Amen. We just wait upon the Lord, see what he might do. People ministering to one another, miracles can transpire in that kind of an atmosphere. And that's how they happen. Amen. And I remember that particular morning it was an evening. I think it was a Wednesday night, and we were really off that night. I'm talking about the people, not just us. But, you know, it was just one of those nights. Not many people showed up, but God showed up, and we had church anyway. I mean, when God shows up, sometimes we had so many instruments. We had a Hawaiian steel guitar. We had an electric guitar, a bass guitar. We had a Hammond organ and a piano, and we had a drum set, and somebody blowing a trumpet at one time. We had all, it was like a Holy Ghost orchestra in that little church, and people come. We were notorious for our noise. Amen. We made a joyful noise unto the Lord. But this was one of those nights where everything was off. And sometimes my dad would just play an acoustic guitar and we'd sing. And a lady came down from Zephyr Hills to the meeting because she had a colon cancer, was scheduled to have a large portion of her colon removed and have a colostomy. And her bowels would move into that bag for the rest of her life, to save her life. Not a bad trade-off to live out your days. And she came, and we didn't even know what was wrong with her. God just started moving, and we just laid hands on her, and she said, I've got cancer. She didn't say where. She didn't tell the circumstances. We laid hands on her, and we didn't see any more of her. Months later, I think it was close to a year later, I got a letter in the mail. She said, I was standing in my home church in Zephyr Hills giving my testimony of what God did for me a year ago at that little church on the corner down in Sulphur Springs in Tampa, Florida. She said, I was scheduled for a colostomy. Amen. I had cancer, a colon cancer. But when I was prayed for and I went back to my doctor, which is a very wise thing to do. You can prove God on these issues. I went back to my doctor, and my doctor, amen, was taking the final x-rays and trying to figure out just how much. They didn't want any surprises when they got inside of her. And when they got inside of her, she said they couldn't find any sign of the cancer whatsoever. Cancel my surgery. I know what they do. When they came looking for cancer in me after God healed me, you know what they do? They use a term. Amen. Because especially if they're not Christian, they use a term. And the term is spontaneous remission. I'm going to tell you something about something as deadly as cancer. It don't just get up and leave. Amen. It had to go because of the mighty, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus' name is claimed because of a covenant relationship that we have with God. It's like power of attorney. It's incredible. I have power of attorney, durable power of attorney for my dad and my mama. I can sign. I could sell anything they had. They don't have anything. It'd be a yard sale, but I could sell it. I could purchase things in their name, sell things, empty the bank account. The lawyer said be very, be very concerned about who you're giving this to. Don't give it to just anybody. You've got to have an exclusive trust. God has allowed us to have use of the mighty authority in the name of Jesus Christ. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick. That's covenant stuff. In my name, amen, you will cast out devils. That's covenant stuff. Can you say amen? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, it's all within the context, and we'll study that out sometime. Maybe get to it tonight. I doubt it, though. But it's all because of a covenant. We're authorized to use his name, because then when those people interchanged names, and they literally one spoke in behalf of the other, they spoke as one. It's powerful. So that's why the name of Jesus holds authority, is because we have a covenant with God. She said, I was standing giving my testimony, and I just had to write you. And I thought, I've never let them know what God did for me that night. Well, under whose authority? How did she do? What happened to her? We prayed for her in the mighty, matchless, majestic, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and God showed up. I've been to meetings where there was a lot of hype, a lot of tapes, a lot of books, a lot of singing, a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching. But bona fide, absolute, undeniable, notable miracles were hard to find. When journalists come to some of the greatest healing meetings in the land looking for one bona fide, sustainable, substantiated miracle and can't find it out of all the people claiming it, something is amiss. When God shows up, they will be substantiated. They will be sustainable. Make no mistake about it. Can you say, man, when God does it, it's done? I'm a living, breathing example of a man that God did it in. Hallelujah. And I would give anything if my dad had saved the medical records. I know the doctor's name, Dr. Paul Minthorne. I know where his office used to be down on Hillsborough Avenue. Amen. I know he's long gone now because he was an old guy when he was treating me. And I know he took care of himself, but not that good. Nobody can take care of themselves that good. But I would love to have the paper trail. Amen. I would love to be able to show the before and the after stuff. And I know what it would say on it. It would say spontaneous remission. But even a skeptical journalist, secular journalist, would have to admit, if you've got it one day, they pray for you the next day, and the following day it's gone. It didn't just leave. It wasn't a coinkadink. Can you say, Matt? That's Popeye for coincidence. Just wanted you to know. God has been good to me. I used to go to a church where I saw this God move. I've never understood how the big show would satisfy people. I have needs in my life for God to intervene. Can you say, man, I'm not interested in the big show. Somebody said the other day, and it wasn't a church here in Tampa, so don't think I'm saying something that you might have heard or anything about anybody here. This was a church in Lakeland, and a plumber visited my home and was doing some plumbing for me, and he was wanted to talk about his prayer life and other things, and he talked about his church, and there were several thousand people in attendance at his church. And he said, we have in the course of a year over 1,000 events scheduled. And I thought, well, do you want me to jump up on the table and do a backflip and a handspring? That really doesn't, I mean, it's good. It's good to have events. I mean, listen, if we had enough old folks like me and we could charter a bus and go to the mountains once a year, I'd like to go to the mountains and eat rainbow trout. And I'd like to do it with you guys. Of course, you'd have to admit you were old to go with me. It'd be a senior trip, can you say amen? And I don't mean high school, neither. You couldn't go, Sean. You'd just have to stay right here with him. Only us could go. But then we'd have a young people's thing, amen? They're going to take a cruise down to Cancun or somewhere. Well, great. That's all well and good. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing that. It's okay to take a cruise somewhere and have a good time together as Christians. It's okay to have Christian entertainment. It's better than secular entertainment. It's good to go to a concert and listen to somebody sing and say, that was so great. But don't mistake that for the worship of the living God. And don't think it takes the place of your personal worship. And don't think all of the events that keep us busy and happy amen, takes the place of the living God moving by His might and His power. The revival that God is going to send to America, the authentic revival, will not come. I prophesy this to you. Amen. I'm not predicting it. I'm speaking it under unction. It will not come through an anointed man or an anointed woman. It will come to the church of Jesus Christ, where two or more gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if two of you on earth shall agree upon anything that they shall ask, it will be given to you of my Father which is in heaven, because where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Can you say amen? If there be any sick among you, let them call of the Let them anoint them with oil. Amen. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not the highly anointed evangelist, high anointed apostle or prophet, but the prayer of faith will save the sick. And who raises them up?
The Lord
will raise them up. Can you say amen? This is covenant stuff. We're claiming a covenant just like Jonathan and his armor bearer are claiming the covenant. It's the new covenant, but it's still a covenant. And the Bible said it's better. Because it's established on better promises. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats.
Yes.
This is for the seed. Let me hurry and we'll finish. Listen, the old covenant wasn't bad. But what we have is better. Listen to David in the Old Covenant. Psalm 103. Old Covenant. Listen to what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all of our iniquity. Who heals all of our diseases. Wow, David, come on. Hallelujah. Who delivers our soul from destruction, who satisfies us with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Everybody say, that's not bad. I'm forgiven, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm set free, I'm blessed. It's not bad. We have a new covenant established on better promises. And we got people that came along after a while because we lost the presence of God, because we suppressed the presence of God. Amen. Pushed the Holy Ghost out because we were so good at it we didn't think we needed Him. Can you say amen? And what did we end up with? We had to do something then for the lack of the supernatural in the services. So we explained that the miracles were just to confirm the word. Now we got the word, we don't need the miracles. Well, the word says that the God that we serve is the Lord God of Israel, and He changes not. And it also says that Jesus Christ that we look to, amen, as the author and finisher of our faith, is the same yesterday, today, and He will be forever. And the Bible said that we are still in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Bible says that we are His seed. And His blessings have come upon us, as well as the blessing that Jesus has brought us to be born again and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God hasn't taken anything from the covenant. He's added to the covenant. The old covenant is not gone. The God of that covenant is not gone. The law part of it has been changed, but the covenant's intact. He's still Jehovah Rapha. You can't just get in any meeting anywhere where Christians gather and call the elders to pray for you unless you've got a covenant with God. He's still that same God doing that same thing He always did. And the authentic revival will bring Him honor and glory. I remember one time I had a lesion on my tongue. It got worse and worse. It got hard. It felt like a kernel in there. So I went to a doctor who sent me to an eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist. He was a case. He was a card. I'm sure glad he didn't have to work any further on me than he did. He was a strange man, very strange guy. But I guess he's a good doctor. You know, he's part of the hospital staff and everything. Anyway, he sent me to an eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist. And he got inside my mouth and he looked at that thing and he said, well, he said, because it had been there for so long. I'd been praying and praying and praying and it had been there for so long. And he looked inside my mouth and he saw that lesion. And boy, I had been to a dentist for some dental work, and they were trying to get people to quit chewing tobacco. And they showed a young man in his 20s, looked like mid-20s, and he had this terrible situation going on here because that's where he held his chew. Everybody don't affect that way. Amen. But it affected him. He'd got cancer of the mouth. And it showed him in that terrible condition. And after visually sitting in a waiting room looking at that and saying, boy, I'm glad I don't chew tobacco and won't get no cancer of the mouth. Hallelujah. I mean, when God tells you to clean your act up, it's for your good. He's not trying to take your baccy away from you. Can you say amen? But I looked at that, and that had made a pretty strong impression on me because that it looked so awful. And every time that I looked at that lesion on my tongue, in the center of my tongue, I thought of that picture. And I thought, wouldn't the devil would cackle in my ear and say, you know, you preach the gospel. You know, you use your mouth. I thought, boy, wouldn't it be something if the devil could afflict me with something like that, and I end up having to have surgery, remove my tongue, amen. You know, wouldn't the devil really get a cackle out of that? God would, and then I push that and say, oh, devil, get away from me. But my faith faces giants. It doesn't stick my head in the sand. What if? There's always that. When you're waiting on the doctor to tell you something, there's always that. And these thoughts coming, I thought, Lord, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I'll just trust you. And I get up. There it is. I stuck my tongue out at myself in the mirror so much. And it was always there, and then I'd fiddle with it, and it got worse. So I went to the eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist. I'm going to use wisdom. I'm going to go to the doctor. He looks inside. He says, well, he says, and this is why it's strange. He had no bedside manner. He said, we can take a biopsy. He said, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to hurt and bleed like heck. And I said, well, what's the alternative to find out what this is? He said, you can just wait a little longer, see if it goes away. I thought, there's my window for faith. Let's wait a little longer. Let's wait a little longer. And I went back home, and I just got down before the Lord, and I said, Lord, Sunday when I go to church, I'm not going to just try to do this by myself. I'm going to call the brethren. I'm going to call the elders. Pauline was there. George were there. You guys were there. Amen. We were in a motel before we went to the University of South Florida campus. Amen. Down there somewhere in a motel room, one of their conference rooms holding church. Amen. And that morning I told everybody about that. People come and gathered around me, begin to lay hands on me. Praise God. And I felt the manifest presence of God. But and folks, within 1 week, within 7 days, that lesion that had been there for several months was gone. Amen. And God just let me know that this thing is not vested in one super spiritual woman or man. This is a covenant that God has with the seed. And when the seed get together, which is the church of the living God, hallelujah, we can claim covenant promises. Praise the Lord. And the real revival is not going to put the spotlight on men and women that can get on a pedestal, get exalted, and fail. When they get a lot of eyes on them, fall. Amen. Listen, amen, it's going to be in the church of Jesus Christ. Churches across America. Amen. God is going to distinguish himself as the God of power when the church of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, I said it's going to come through the church. It's going to be in churches, big churches, little churches. See, when it comes to the covenant and claiming it, listen, you'll hear this over and over again in the Old Testament. It makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. If two of you, covenant people, two of you, seeds of Abraham, two of you that have that generational covenant coming down, if two of you on earth shall agree on what they ask, there's a God that will keep covenant. And it makes no difference to him if it's in a conference building with 10,000 people, a community church with 200 people, a home church with 20 people. God said, you claim the covenant, I will show myself faithful. Hallelujah. Wow. God laid hands on me and I recovered. Because you're the seed. And I'm the seed of Abraham by faith. Are you in Galatians yet? 16 and 17. Galatians 3. Listen to it. Paul writing to the church at Galatia. I've said this before, but I want you to see it. People have abused these covenant blessings because we've used them for self-exalting, self-indulgent reasons. And because of it, we've kind of backed away from some of these things that are ours in Jesus Christ because people have abused it. They've got the message out of context, not rightfully divided the word. We've lost some things that God wants us to reclaim in the church of Jesus Christ. I believe God wants to restore. I want to go on record as saying I believe God wants to restore healing to his people. We all need that. If that lesion had been found through a biopsy to be cancerous and I had cancer of the mouth, I would be in for a tough time of surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, whatever it takes. Your pastor went through a tough time that way. I'm glad that I was able to call elders in a church to pray for me. I'm not saying it was cancer. I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm saying before we prayed, it stubbornly remained on my tongue and became more thicker and bigger, and it became more. It was sore. Every time I ate, I felt it. Every time I got a piece of candy in my mouth, I felt that hard place, that sore place. I was in constant reminder it was there and it wasn't going away. It was kind of defiant until y'all gathered around me. And I remember just weeping, breaking, melting in the presence of God. Because things like that and the prospect of things like that can humble you. And being humbled is not a bad thing. I wasn't standing on a mountaintop of faith. I was running to that tower. What time, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. Why do we run? Because we're afraid and we need a shelter and we need help and we need deliverance. Can you say amen? When he said fear not, he meant you know what to do when fear comes. Don't entertain it. Run to me. But after prayer, I felt confident that God was going to do something wonderful and powerful because I felt his presence. But even if I didn't, God did something wonderful and powerful. And I thought, Lord, you showed me something. You showed me what you want to do again in your church. So I'm highly committed to making you mature ones. So if I need you, I can call you. Elders are not just men appointed by men to run the church. Amen. Elders means mature ones. And I want you to know something. Now, I'm not talking about not having certain titles in church. I'm not talking about it. But I'm saying in Jesus Christ, when we get into this spiritual realm and this supernatural realm, there's no bond nor free. There's no rich nor poor. There's no black nor white. There's no male nor female. There's no super evangelist and nobody. Amen. I remember this wonderful story, a singing group, and I remember their name for years, and I finally forgot it after all these years. But it was a singing group. It was a mom and dad and two daughters, and they went across singing together. An evangelist heard them sing and invited them to go to India with him as he preached the gospel in India. A well-known evangelist went there and was going to preach in India, invited these singers to go with him because he loved the way they sang. So here's this daughter. She said she was 13 years old. She told this story when she was in her 30s. She said, I was 13 years old. I was not a minister. I was not called to minister. I have prayed for people in my devotionals, but I'd never laid hands on anybody in my life. And she said, but we went to India and said the second night of the meeting, the minister preached. He had prayed for a bunch of people, and now the Spirit of God was moving through him in salvation. People were coming to receive Jesus as their Savior. She said, I was standing back on the platform. We had sung to open the service, and I was praying with him. 13-year-old girl, all she did was sing. That was her calling, her ministry, sing with her family for Jesus. She said, I was standing there, and I was just lost in prayer, praying, Lord, save the lost, save the lost. He's making an altar call. People are coming forward. And she said there was a lady that kept beckoning to her. And she looked and she hesitated because, you know, she's not part of the laying on of hands or the gifts or the anointings. She's just a young Christian girl that loves Jesus and loves people. And the lady kept beckoning and beckoning and beckoning. And she went over to the corner of the platform and she saw that the lady couldn't hear, couldn't speak. She was a deaf mute, but she kept beckoning. And when she got over to the end of the platform, said the lady took her hand and put it on her head. And she said, when I put my hand on her head, said, I couldn't help but just pray for her. And I said, Lord Jesus, help this poor woman. Lord Jesus, heal this poor woman. She just prayed a simple prayer. And suddenly the woman began to speak in her own tongue, not in other tongues, but in her tongue that she couldn't understand. She began to speak out. And a man that watched it happen standing there from India said, she can hear and she can speak. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. And I thought, isn't that just like God? When it's real, when it's authentic, it's not just about gifted people up on pedestals. Oh, it's about God honoring His Word. It's about the authority of the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That woman will never, just like me, will never remember that young lady's name. But there's one name that woman will remember for the rest of her life. And that's the name that was called upon when that young woman prayed. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah! It's not to exalt us. It's to confirm the Word and exalt Him. Verse 16 says, now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. That's just what we read in the Old Covenant. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no longer a promise. God gave it to Abraham by promise. And I'm not going to read all of the rest of that, but jump to 26. This is so good. Verse 26. Now this is to the Christians at Galatia. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as of you that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And in this spiritual relationship, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen? Amen? If you belong to Jesus, then you're in covenant with God. And God is in covenant with you. And that's why the Bible is separated by covenants. But the covenant is always there. Boy, there's so much I'd love to get into, but time is getting away from us. The right to use the name of Jesus in prayer is a covenant thing. Elders praying for the sick, on what basis do they do that? Because there's a covenant. They're claiming a covenant. If there's anybody in a gathering anywhere where the seed is, that covenant God is in the midst to keep covenant promises. Amen? The Bible called it, before the Gentiles were brought in, you know what the Bible called these deliverances, these supernatural acts of God to help people that cry out to Him? You know what it was called? It's called the children's bread. It's theirs. Belongs to them. Not something God arbitrarily decides at any given time in His sovereignty. It's something He's committed by covenant to them. Committed Himself by covenant to them. Woman that isn't a Jew says, my daughter's home vexed of a devil. He says, it's not meat to take the children's bread. Everybody say children's bread. Who are the children? The seed of Abraham. Can you say amen? They got the covenant, right? Amen. But when the Gentiles were brought in, we come into that thing. She said, true master, but even the dogs. Said, and it's not me to give it to dogs. That was would have been an insult. She worshiped him, saying, true, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, he said, woman, great is your faith. Can you say amen? But he did distinguish between people without the covenant and people within the covenant. He said, if you were Abraham's seed, if you were a Jew and Abraham's seed, you could claim this covenant. But because you're not, you can't legitimately claim it by lineage. But by faith, you can still come into it. If you bow to me and acknowledge me as your God, true Lord, Adonai, Master, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Great is thy faith. Amen. And he immediately delivered. He didn't even have to be there to cast the devil out. He just delivered her right where he was because he's God incarnate. Woman goes into the temple with crippling arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, whatever it was. It had bowed her over and she was in pain. It's the Sabbath. He heals her. She straightens up and glorifies God. They criticize him for healing on the Sabbath. And he said, listen, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham that Satan hath bound all these years, be healed? Ought not this woman, what gave her the right? What gave him the... What was it? He said, you should be helping her. You should have been doing this yourself. You should have been praying for her. Can you say amen? Amen. When the church gets so into its doctrine and its dogma, it forgets about its God, then people suffer. Amen. That cannot be delivered. And his name isn't glorified just because you got the right doctrine. It's glorified when this God actually moves. Hallelujah. And distinguishes himself with power. Elijah didn't get into a theological argument with the prophets of Baal. He said, our God is the true and living God. He distinguishes himself with power. Hallelujah. Everybody say resurrection.
Resurrection.
Oh, wow. You will never, ever, 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 convince a gainsaying world that Jesus rose from the dead by taking him on a pilgrimage to see an empty tomb, which may or may not have even been his tomb, over 2,000 years after the fact. The only people convinced were the believers that saw him put in there that were doubters after they saw him die, but then when they saw the empty tomb, but until they saw him face to face, Book of Acts, a lame man is healed. God distinguishes himself by power. A notable miracle is wrought. Peter and John are brought before the church officials. Amen. And what do they tell them? Don't preach or teach anymore. And say he would have killed them. They would have killed them outright. But they feared the people because they could not deny that a notable miracle was wrought in the lame man. So they threatened them with their life and said, don't preach or teach in what? In this name anymore. Didn't say quit going to church, quit talking about God, quit doing all your God things that you want to do, but don't you ever preach again in the name of Jesus. And on top of that, don't you preach through him the resurrection of the dead. And they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that we might speak thy word with boldness. And that, listen, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus, by stretching forth thine hand and healing the sick. Listen to me. Distinguish yourself. When we declare you, you distinguish yourself with power. Can you say amen? It's covenant stuff. What's happened to the church? We are absolutely satisfied. Programs, activities, Christian entertainment, and all of that's fine in his place until you need the living God to supernaturally intervene in your life. Then you've got to have something authentic. And I want a basis for that. I want to walk within the covenant that he's declared right here. Can you say amen? My heart is broken tonight because of phony revivals and the damage that it's done to the true, the real, the genuine. My heart is broken tonight because of phony preachers, and male and female, who have represented something that was not what they really were. If you ever doubt that God is as serious about exposing sin, even to his own hurt, his own name's hurt, and his own people's reputations hurt, make no mistake about it, our sin will find us out. It may take a while, but that scripture is absolutely true. God will not let us sin without consequence. It will come to light. It will come to the surface, whether it be a man who's a secret homosexual, who's the head of one of the largest evangelical movements in America, married with two daughters, having homosexual affairs. Did God leave it covered, or did he bring it to light? He brought it to light. And it was in the news, and it will be in the news, because that makes big news. Whether it be divorce in pulpits on a level that is absolutely out of control. People speak of breaking covenants like that as if it's no big deal. It's not anything. I'm just on this journey with God, and he's taking me on this journey, as if he somehow inadvertently willed it instead of admitting the sin and asking forgiveness. I'm talking about leadership. There's standards for leadership. God hasn't changed them to accommodate, amen, a church that is coming to the place of compromise. Amen. Makes everybody in the pew feel better when it's in the pulpit too. The closet alcoholic who used to be on Huntley Street and 700 Club and PTL years ago, but secretly this particular minister and author was hooked on alcohol. And it finally came to the surface. He didn't live out his days. You can't go to those communions. We can't play the church games. Can you say, man, we can't do it. God is serious about this. Amen. Why is he serious? Because a little leaven leavens the lump. Amen. God is going to hold me accountable. Even in a small little gathering like this, God is going to hold me accountable. Amen. If I don't hold the standard before you, and if I play some kind of game with God, and I lead you the wrong way, amen, he's going to visit me. I guarantee you he's going to visit your preacher. Amen. I watched my uncle who absolutely lost his faith, compromised, amen, ended up not only, he was in the Church of God, and Church of God had some holy standards. Can you say amen? Especially back in the day. He was the youngest man to ever become a district overseer in the history of the church. He was going up the ladder, amen, of integrity. He left a little church in Ocala to take one in Kannapolis, North Carolina, that at that time was a big church because it was about 900 people. He was at the apex of his ministry. He had known Dave Wilkerson personally. He had prayed for people. He had cast out devils and told me about the incidents where he had encountered the power of the netherworld and through the name of Jesus saw great victory. But compromise came in his personal life. He became addicted to prescription drugs. He would go to three doctors with legitimate back pain, but the pain in his heart was worse than the pain in his spine. And he was trying to find something. He began to drift away from the Lord, and he would go to three or four doctors with back pain. They would all give him painkillers. He would take the painkillers to numb the pain in his heart. He'd go to three doctors with his anxiety, get three prescriptions for Valium. He got to where swallowing it by mouth wasn't enough. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, as we close this service, we need the authentic. Amen. We need the genuine. Yes. We need the real. We need the supernatural. We all the other entertaining stuff and all the big show is one thing. We need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. To deliver us from our sin and deliver us from its consequences and keep us by his power. Satan isn't playing games. It's real with him. It's serious with God. It's equally serious with the enemy. He spoke in other tongues. He preached the gospel. He cast out devils, laid hands on the sick. Had a radio ministry. He got to where taking it orally didn't give him what he needed. So he took syringes. He ground this stuff into powder, mixed it with water, began to shoot it into his veins. I had never seen track marks, even in prison ministry. I didn't understand what happens when you keep sticking needles in a vein until the vein collapses and it leaves an indention in your arm. A deep indention. Maybe you've never seen track marks. First track marks I ever saw in my life was a Pentecostal preacher. When he finally ended up in the hospital, I used to go pray for him at midnight, and he would be rocking back and forth with migraines, hitting his head against the headboard. He would drink vodka and press that needle. And if you think the devil isn't serious, listen, I don't want a phony preacher. I don't want a phony revival. I don't want a phony move of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I want the God of this Bible, the God of the Word. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I just don't get excited about too much. I wait and see. I want to know that it's real. I am a believer, but I am checking everything out anymore. Hallelujah. I want an authentic move of God. I keep using that word. It's vital in a day of deception. Amen. To get the authentic. Can you say, man, the real, the genuine? When God moves, God moves. When God changes you, you don't go back to the same old stuff. Can you say, man? When God delivers you, you can verify your deliverance with x-rays, with blood tests. Whom the Son sets free, he's really free. Free indeed. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise tonight. I watched the devastation of his life and ministry and family. I watched his soul get in jeopardy. But I watched him in the back row of the old Holy Church of God rededicate his life to Jesus Christ. And I remember the day that the wreck happened. He was killed instantly, head on with a truck. A tanker truck hit him when he went to sleep at the wheel and came over into that. Listen, God forgave him his sin, but he had hurt his body so bad, amen, that his health had deteriorated. Listen, there are consequences to sin. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his grace. But there are consequences to sin. Can you, oh, my church, we need an authentic revival. We're so afraid. We just walk around issues that are so crucial, so critical. And being in church and speaking in tongues and preaching is not the same as walking with God in your daily life. Anointings and gifts don't take the place of devotion and sincerity. Hallelujah. And my heart is crushed every time I have to read, I have to listen, I have to deal with the fact that in leadership there's a leadership crisis in the Church of Jesus Christ in America. And everyone has become suspect to a gainsaying world. I'm suspect. I was coming down the steps at work, and I was walking down the steps from the break room, and there's some guys at a time clock down there, and they were talking. Couldn't help hear their conversation as I was coming down the steps. And one of them was saying to the other, "Why don't you come to church Sunday? Why don't you come with me to church Sunday?" He said, "Why should I?" I said, "They're all phonies and he began to talk about somebody that television had been on television at one time and had been exposed as, you know, their sin or whatever it was had been exposed. And said, they're all alike. Why should I do that? He's using their failure as an excuse to not go to church and not hear the claims of Christ. Amen. And as I was coming down the steps, that man who was talking to him saw me. And I was midway now. And he says, what about him? You know him. What about him? He said, well, he's different. Somebody has got to be different. Somebody has got. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I'm real. This thing don't stop with me when I go to work. I'm not. There's nothing in my closet. I'm not hiding some secret sin. There's no double life. Amen. You're not going to find something out you never knew about me. That's why I don't play church, because I've seen it played. When you play church, I don't care what kind of stuff is going on. I'm not impressed with gold dust, angel wings. I told you about Goosey Lucy. God said he was casting out devils, had some goose livers that he had in his pocket. He'd reach in his pocket, and you know, like he was using his handkerchief to wipe his mouth like I do, and he'd pull out a goose liver in his hand, grab hold of somebody and say, come out of them! Throw that goose liver on the floor, and they'd think, dear Lord in heaven. They think some kind of something inside that person had come out of them. Guy picked it up, took it to a butcher. Butcher says, you know what this is? He said, I know exactly what that is. He said, that's a goose liver. Folks, it's got to be real. We don't need no goose liver deliverances. We need the Holy Ghost. He's real. We don't need Goosey Lucy. Did I ever tell you about Goosey Lucy? I did? You did? I didn't? Oh, she would preach, and people like us that love God and seek God and believe in the supernatural, we'd show up to hear her preach. While she's preaching, in the background, they use these big fans on the platform, always blowing out toward the audience, these big, huge fans in the background. They're blowing out. And somebody would take goose feathers, and they'd turn them, they'd put them in front of them fans, and she would on cue, she would say, the angels of the Lord are entering the building. And everybody say, woo. Because, you know, angels are here. Yes, amen. And woo, woo, when they come, I'll woo too. Amen. But we don't need no goose feathers. And all those goose feathers would begin to flow out over the audience and start coming down. And then people go wild. Angels. I thought, I have never read in the Bible where angels, I know they got wings and that. I've never read where they molt. Supernatural beings that molt. They're flying overhead and they're molting. Just have to hit a night when their feathers are just, you know, the old ones are falling out so the new ones can grow in. What baloney. Oh, by the way, somebody did it. You know they'd do it. They picked up the feather. They went to somewhere and had it analyzed. And sure enough, it's a goose feather. Goose feathers instead of the angels of the Lord. To turn people on and turn their pocketbooks loose. Her name was Lucy. And so once they found that out, they said, that's Goosey Lucy. Honey, I don't want to go hear Goosey Lucy. I don't want to go see a deliverance that's really a goose liver. Can you say amen? I don't want to be mesmerized by someone who is just trying to get me to say, because they're so persuasive, I end up going along with them. I want to encounter something beyond the person and the crowd and all the other stuff. Hallelujah. I want the God that touched my tongue when y'all gathered around me and prayed. And heal me and set me free. Hallelujah. That's what I'm looking for. I want the God who healed me of cancer when I was 8 going on 9. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I don't want the phony. I want the genuine. Will you stand to your feet tonight? My uncle came back to Jesus. I would rather have nothing happen and have something happen that isn't truly God.
Amen.
Amen? I'd rather wait for the real.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I prophesy to you in the unction of the Holy Spirit that the mighty revival that God is going to send is going to be when Christians, the seed, come together and the God of the covenant shows up in those services. Amen. I remember a guy at church. He's a lay minister. You wouldn't know his name if I told you. A guy at work, rather. He's a lay minister. He's a precious black man. He loves the Lord. He's really excited about Jesus. His wife got some kind of infection internally, in the blood, in some of the organs. And the doctor, he had prayed, had the church pray, and the doctor just gave them a very grim, didn't know if she would ever come out of the hospital because it was one of those raging infections that affected the blood and the organs in the body. And he said, Rev, he said, I just took my Bible, told everybody else to leave the room, and I went over there and I claimed the covenant in her behalf and I prayed in the name of Jesus for her healing. And then he got excited. He said, and God showed up. And then God showed out. He said, within 2 days, my wife was home cooking for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we were rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to submit to you tonight, when God really shows up, He's going to show out. Hallelujah. He's going to heal. He's going to deliver. He's going to save. He's going to change people's lives. He's going to set captives free. He's the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel. He changes not. Hallelujah. I want to be here when it happens. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we give Him praise in this place tonight? Glory to His great name. Glory to His great name. Hallelujah. We're holding out for the real. Is that all right with you? We're holding out for the real. Hallelujah. People have went and they've saw the program. They've went and enjoyed the show. But they're still bound. And they're still, amen, in need of deliverance. Amen. They've been in churches with PhD preachers, well-trained preachers, singers that sing unto high heaven, churches that are so comfortable, so big, so vast that there's so much, it's so wonderful. But they're still in the pickle that they're in. Why? Because until God shows up, you can't get set free. But when He shows up, whoever the Son touches is going to be really free indeed. Means it's authentic, it's real, it's done. I want to be part of that. I want to ride the crest of that wave. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have anything in mind? Just let's have one song you can leave while it's playing.